The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Basics Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Overton. I'm your host. Round one of the 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. We're going to break it down with some winners and losers style action. Myself, John Breach, Tyler Sullivan. Johnny, the Bengals get an offensive lineman. Sully, Drake May is the new Tom Brady. Got a lot of talked about. Weirdly insane, but not as insane as it was supposed to be. First round. Give the first round of the draft a grade overall.
I'd still give it like a B plus. I mean, there was plenty of intrigue. I mean, we'll get to it, but like the free fall of a couple of quarterback or one quarterback specifically in JJ McCarthy, and then you have Michael Penix Jr. being a top 10 pick going ahead of him. Like, that was crazy. The fact that we're getting all the subplots with Kirk Cousins beyond that is bananas. And we have a couple of teams here that have really solidified themselves. I mean, Roma Dunze, I know a lot of people mock.
We're just giving grades out here for the overall draft. My God, Sully.
I'm excited.
It's always about to break down the entire draft.
I'm ready to go.
Sully was about to cover literally one third of the NFL draft.
Every single pick.
And you haven't even asked
Did you actually give it a grade?
I said
B plus. 23 offensive players selected in the first round. Breach, what grade do you give the first round of the 2024 NFL draft?
I will give it a B, and I'm going to give it that grade because I think the Falcons saved it. If the Falcons would have just taken a defensive player and everything just went down, it's probably a C plus to me, but the fact that that is just the most, I don't want to say unpredictable pick ever because Jonathan Jones predicted it, but my God, I don't even know what happened the rest of the draft because I stopped paying attention after that because I was just beside myself. I could not believe what happened, so I'll go B plus.
Shout out to Jonathan Jones, our CBS Sports NFL insider, who correctly predicted in his only mock draft. And I think I made fun of him for it on here, like several times. I absolutely dragged him for it on here. Like, sure, JJ, that's what they're going to do. He did one mock draft. He's not really he's a CBS Sports insider. So, I mean, like, he talks to plenty of teams, but like, JJ's not I don't think JJ would consider himself like a huge draft guy, you know? And to suggest that the Falcons would sign Kirk Cousins in this huge deal and they go out and draft Michael Penix, 8th overall, is absolutely wild. I think it does. And you mentioned like JJ McCarthy falling. Because I think the best way to get into this draft is with the quarterbacks. 6 taken in the first 12 picks. The record is 6 in the first round. And we got done with them by 12 picks in. Obviously, you know, we didn't get any more, so they didn't break the record. But I'm sitting here doing my winners and losers story, and I think I'm going to do all quarterbacks as winners. And Michael Penix said, well, I'm Kirk Cousins. But I'll tell you, I think we don't need to spend much time on Caleb Williams because he was the first quarterback taken. No surprise. I think because they come back and get Roma Dunze, he's a winner. But I think the Penix, as Breach points out, Michael Penix being drafted by the Falcons is by far and away the biggest story of the entire night because it was entirely chalk. So we got Caleb 1, and I'm not trying to do what Sully was trying to do. We get Caleb 1, Jaden 2, Drake May 3. Those were the big – we saw Tom Thelliser tweet out like an hour before the draft or 30 minutes before the draft. Drake's going to be the third pick. Chalk, chalk, chalk. Marvin Harrison 4, chalk. Joe Alt 5, chalk. Malik Nabers 6, chalk. J.C. Latham, we knew the Titans were going to take an offensive lineman, chalk. And then wham, bam, out of left field, off the top rope, the Falcons come flying in and draft Michael Penix is the fourth quarterback off the board. I mean, Breach, you touched on it. I mean, who's the winner? Who's the loser here? I mean, it has to be Kirk Cousins is a loser, right?
Oh, I mean, Cousins is a huge loser in this situation. I mean, we had his agent literally reaching out to every single person, even gave a statement to a couple of guys over at NFL Media. He said, yes, it was a big surprise. We had no idea this was coming. The truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming. We got no heads up.
Jonathan Jones'
mock draft. And to finish that statement real quick, Kirk got a call from the Falcons when they were on the clock. That was the first we heard. It never came up in any conversation, end quote. And the reason that makes Cousins a loser, the fact that it never came up in any conversation, that makes McCartney, the agent, it makes it sound like, hey, if you would have maybe brought this up in March, maybe we don't sign with you guys because we would have liked to have known if you were not. We're coming here to win the division title, maybe get to the playoffs, maybe win a Super Bowl. We're thinking you're to use that eighth overall pick to help build the roster this year. Instead, you draft a quarterback, and now either Kirk isn't going to play or Penix is going to play because both of them are not going to be on the field. And so I think if you're Cousins, you have to be livid. And to me, this turns into one of two situations. It either turns into an Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation, but Kirk Cousins isn't as talented as Aaron Rodgers. So if Kirk is just irate and beside himself the whole year, who knows what he's going to look like? You don't know where his mind is going to be because not only is he recovering from this Achilles now, but now he's got this in the back of his head of this team hates me. He has no relationship with the Falcons. They're already they're burning bridges already. And then the optimal option would be that this turns into Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, where Penix sits for a year, takes over quarterback, fun transition.
Except Michael Penix is like 25.
Well, right. And so
he's so old.
Seems unlikely, but my God, the Falcons have created, even if Penix ends up being awesome, which is completely possible, at least for 2024, they have created quite the dramatic and ugly situation for themselves.
I think you can make a pretty, I have to go back and look at how Jordan Love transferred too, but like, I mean, kind of an Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love style situation where, except like you haven't had the guy on your roster for 15 years. I mean,
right. I mean, to me, I think it's two things. I think both of it can be true. It's bad business to do it in the way that you did, not telling Kirk Cousins and kind of catching him blindsided after decreeing him with the money and the contract to be the new franchise guy. But I also don't fault the Atlanta Falcons for doing it in the sense of bringing in a quarterback like Michael Penix, who we all like. I mean, yes, we think that that's relatively high, taking him that high.
But Brady Quinn and Danny Cannell and Prisco was really high on Penix too, I believe.
Right.
Brady said on the podcast, his tape was the best tape of anybody in this class last year.
And so now, in what was one of the rubs? Oh, he had Roma Dunze and a ton of stud wide receivers. Well, now he goes to Atlanta with all first-round pass catchers at his disposal. So
injuries was another rub.
Injuries. He had four season-ending injuries. Yeah. His age and injuries were the big problem.
Of course. But where is he going now? He's going to Atlanta, and this is what I'm getting at. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get with Kirk Cousins. He is going to
I agree with this take.
He's going to be 36 coming off an Achilles injury. We all just assume he's going to be fine, but we don't know that. And it's not like he's been, like Aaron Rodgers, a former MVP. He's been a good quarterback, but it's not necessarily this all-time great that we're talking about here. We don't know what it's going to look like. So if you're this front office for Atlanta, you better do your due diligence on this quarterback class. And if you like somebody like Michael Penix Jr. enough, make him a top 10 pick. What's the worst thing that happens? Oh, no, you have two good quarterbacks. That's a great situation to be in if you're them.
Yeah, so I actually think, and I was going to think about writing something about this during the draft, and I was like, if I start writing this, I'm never going to get anything done with these winners or losers post. I think you made the case that, okay, like, to your point, let's say that the Falcons roster is built to win now. You go out and you sign Kirk Cousins, and you sign Darnell Mooney. You know, you have a defense that certainly needs some help, but we believe in Raheem Morris as a guy who can coach up a defense and get the most out of him, right? I mean, like, that defense can be top half of the league if everything clicks right pretty easily. Would you like to get a pass rusher there instead and really push for this year? Yes. But let's say you draft a pass rusher at 8. Dallas Turner, Latu, I don't know, you get Byron Murphy, an interior guy to replace Grady Jarrett, which we all thought they would do. Throw a quarterback in there. Do whatever you want. Put a defensive player on there. And Cousins isn't healthy coming off the torn Achilles, isn't ready to play to start the season, gets hurt early in the season, lacks explosiveness throwing the ball down the field because his Achilles, he's coming off a repaired Achilles, or name and gets hurt again, anything. This season that you've sort of gone all in on is suddenly last year, but with a worse quarterback situation. And now you have Michael Penix, who is a veteran rookie because of his age. I think he's 25. He played 5 years. He has 61 starts or something like that. He and Bo Nix. Bo Nix attempted 1,600 passes. Or maybe it was Penix. Whatever it is. Like, these guys have played for so long because of COVID, because of the transfer portal, that they are older, established guys. So, like, you kind of have a safety net if the Cousins things go sideways in the first year. And if Cousins goes sideways in the first year and Penix looks awesome, you can get out of the Cousins deal after 2 years. It's sort of like a really rich version of Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson in Seattle.
I think that makes all the sense. Again, we don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to look like. And like you're saying, you have a quarterback now on a rookie deal. You can kind of take that risk. I know it's a lot of money that you gave to Kirk Cousins, but let's just play this thing out. Let's see what this guy looks like, and what's the worst case scenario? That Kirk Cousins is awesome and you have this great first round rookie quarterback over the next couple of years to develop behind him. And then you make a decision on a later date. That's not a bad problem to be in. If you're the Atlanta Falcons over the last few years, you have had horrible, horrible quarterback play that's deterred you from contending outside of your first round talent at the pass catching positions. You never want to be in that spot again. So what do? You double down at the position. I don't hate it.
Well, I think that Kirk Cousins' biggest problem, though, is that the Falcons didn't give him a heads up that this came out of nowhere, that he signed this huge contract, assuming he was going to be the undisputed starter, and now you have the 8th overall pick coming in. I mean, what if you get to training camp and they're equals, you know, and you start thinking, well, maybe do we need to start Michael Penix, or are you automatically thinking, you know what, he's definitely be on the bench the first year, he'll learn behind Kirk, or as you guys just said, you know, if Cousins is struggling or doesn't look great coming off that torn Achilles, then you do have Penix there as your safety net. But the flip side is, what if the Falcons go 12-5 next year with Cousins as their starter and he just keeps playing well? You get to a point where you just have to tear off the band-aid and say, bye, Kirk, Michael Penix is our starter now. Or do you just ride the Kirk Cousins train until it crashes? If Kirk Cousins plays well enough to be the starter for all 4 years of his contract. I cannot imagine any situation where he is the Falcons starter for all 40 years.
It was a great point. I was trying to I was going to tell Harry to upload this photo that I sent in Slack if he can. But if you can work on that, it's basically Terry Fontenot. Did you see that clip of Terry Fontenot talking to Arthur Blank? And he's like, no. And Arthur Blank's like, I've got like 7 of my closest friends here because it looks like all old people. Like all old men in the Falcons draft room, and he's like, you're making me look like an a-hole, Terry. he's like, I was under the clearly, and I think, look, again, to Breach's point, I think the case is made like, okay, if Michael Penix doesn't play a snap for 4 years because Kirk Cousins is good enough, isn't that in theory sort of the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers thing? Except Michael Penix will be 30. by the time that Kirk Cousins' contract was actually up, I believe, maybe 28, whatever it is. Yeah, this is like, and there's a video of this, and Terry Fontenot, look at these old, there's so many, it's like, what a wild demographic in this Falcons, Falcons war room. Anyway, the point being is that, like, the Packers didn't use the 8th overall pick on Jordan Love. They did trade up to get him, but they knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers. And I couldn't help but feel this like pang of sort of, if you're Kirk Cousins and the Vikings got JJ McCarthy, and we'll get to that, but it's like, man, if you could turn back time, would Kirk probably just be like, all right, let's, like, if Kirk Cousins knew the Falcons were going to draft a quarterback 8th overall, I think he probably resigns with Minnesota.
Well, the money's different, obviously, because Kirk Cousins got it back, but it's very similar to what happened in Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson. He signs with the Steelers, and all of a sudden they trade for Justin Fields. I don't know if he signs with Pittsburgh if he knows that Justin Fields is coming to town. So it's similar, and I agree with you. I don't think that if you had told him the full plan, if you said, hey, Kirk Cousins, we're going to give you all this money, but we're also going to draft a guy number 8 overall, and it's kind of going to be a big deal, you know, over training camp and throughout your entire tenure here, because we're going to be looking at this guy wondering if he's the next franchise. I don't know if he signs. He probably stays with Minnesota, right? Or he explores other situations. But I don't agree with how the Falcons handled it. But in terms of acquiring another quarterback to possibly be insurance for a 36-year-old coming off an Achilles, that's a smart move.
Well, I would say the one difference with the Steelers-Wilson situation, though, is that Russell Wilson has not played well enough over the past 2 years to not expect the Steelers to bring in some sort of competition. Yeah. You can't just walk in after the way you played for 2 years expecting to be the starter. Whereas Kirk Cousins was the premier free agent quarterback this year. He expected that wherever he signed, he is the starting quarterback. The Falcons are not going to use a first round pick on a quarterback.
The Falcons are being investigated for tampering because they were so desperate to get Kirk Cousins. And then they turn around and they're like,
The NFL tomorrow is going to be like, we rescind and take back your 8th overall pick. So Penix is back in the draft.
All right, let's take a quick break. I really do think that was by far the biggest story of this draft. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss our favorite winners from round one of the 2024 NFL draft next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, so the biggest winners from the first round of the draft. I'm looking at what you guys put into the Google Doc, and I think it's hilarious. You know, we do it right now. We prep a little bit around these parts. Harry does a great job getting us ready for the shows. I think it's funny that when we were talking about our bold predictions for before the draft, who would be the winners, who would be the losers, we listed the Vikings, Bears, and Cardinals because all three of them had 2 first-round picks. And Sully has – did I have the Vikings before, right? I think I had the Vikings last. Sully grabbed the Vikings. But you only have 32 picks. If you have 2 of them, you're more likely to be a winner than you are to be a loser. And the Vikings, the Bears, and the Cardinals – I think are the 3 big winners because they all made the – or maybe you could make Kyler Murray's a winner. But to the point, Sully, the Vikings, not only did they get a quarterback, they didn't have to give up the other first-round pick, and they didn't have to give up a future pick, right? I mean, they have to be a winner.
Yeah, I mean, if you told a Minnesota Vikings fan that you would come out of this draft with J.J. McCarthy, still have your 2025 first-round pick intact, and somehow also have Dallas Turner – they'd be like, okay, sure, yeah. Crazy man from the future. That makes all the sense in the world. Like, it's you know, we can talk about why McCarthy fell and you know, whatever that reason was.
And to be clear, like, he only fell to 10. To 10, which
he's a prop 10.
If you'd said before the 2023 season, college football season, like, J.J. McCarthy will go 10th overall, people would be like, yeah, pal, right.
Right. But, and again, we were talking about him possibly being 4-5, this crazy trade up. It's really went chalk at the beginning of the draft, as you said, Brinson. But to me, the fact that he was able to go down a little bit, and we also identified 10 as a possible spot where these teams could pivot to try to trade up for a quarterback. I thought it would be for Michael Penix, but J.J. McCarthy ended up falling there. Good on the Vikings to just jump up that one spot with the Jets so they didn't get leapfrogged by the Broncos, Raiders, or whoever else that possibly could move up there. You secure your franchise quarterback. You somehow end up with a dude that was in the running to be the first defensive player off the board in Dallas Turner, helps you replace Danielle Hunter. You know, he's got comparisons to, like, Josh Allen in Jacksonville. To me, I don't know how you come away with this not feeling really good if you're the Minnesota Vikings.
I would say, I know our stat guy, our research guy, Doug Clausen, threw out, and I'm not sure if you saw this, Sully, just how much the Vikings had to give up to make all of this happen. When you look at acquiring the 23rd pick, when you look at trading up from 11 to 10, that they gave up the equivalent of another first-round pick to get these two first-round picks.
Did they really?
Yeah. The equivalent of a mid-first round
pick. But in terms of,
like,
grade points, right? Not, obviously not an actually a first-round
pick. Right. But, I mean, I agree with you because you got your quarterback and you got one of the better defenders in the draft who people were talking about as a potential top 10 pick before the draft. So I think if you're the Vikings, you're thrilled no matter what the technical numbers say about, you know, how much you gave up to get these two guys.
Right. I mean, go to last year real quickly. I mean, we were kind of getting after the Houston Texans for trading back up to number 3 to get Will Anderson Jr. We're like, wait a minute. They gave up, what was it, the Cleveland pick or whatever?
They gave up their own pick.
They gave up their own pick.
If they were a good team this year, we would still be giving them a little crap because the Cardinals, you're thinking the Cardinals are going to have two top 10 picks.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Texans would nail the CJ Stroud thing, won the division. I mean, it's, you know, like, they gave up 23. It's a whole different ballgame. If J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold, well, see, like, they didn't give up their 2025 pick. That's the key. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, you gave up the equivalent of a first-round pick, but you didn't give up the pick.
Right, because we don't know if Minnesota is going to be particularly good next year either. Like, right. They have their quarterback. They have their, you know, first-round pass rusher. But you're also in a division with Green Bay, who was in the playoffs, Detroit, who was making moves, and they just drafted, Chicago did, their franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams. You could finish last in that division.
But by the way, making moves, I mean, they were in the NFC Championship game. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, too, like, the Texans last year, coming into 2023, the Texans' win total was like 5.5, and the Panthers' win total got up as high as 8. And no one would have guessed that the Texans would win way more games. The Texans won a playoff game. The Panthers won 2 games, right? And so that to me is like, not giving up a future first, getting a quarterback. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be good. I think J.J. McCarthy is a winner in this whole thing because he landed with the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell, who almost made the playoffs with 5 quarterbacks, got the most out of a bunch of guys who were like coming in at the last minute. Josh Dobbs flies into the trade deadline. Jaren Hall, the rookie, like the ability, I think that's a good coaching staff. And then you add Dallas Turner to that Brian Flores defense, you feel like, you know, Minnesota is at least in a much better spot than they were 48 hours ago, right? Even if they did give up the equivalent. And by the way, Minnesota next year, one first in the first round pick in 2025, and then 2 fifth round picks. So they have nothing next year. That's an issue. It's an issue for down the road. But
they're all in on 2024, Brinson. They're the Cowboys. They're all in.
But it's a concern for a guy, Kwesi Adolphe-Mensah. Again, I'm petrified I'm going to butcher his name. But, like, that's an issue for a guy who, like, constantly preaches how much he values draft picks. It's to do that. We mentioned the Panthers and giving up that first-round pick. Breach the Bears. I think, again, like, however you want to hash it out, you want to say the Bears are winners. I would almost say you could say Caleb Williams is a winner because he's landing. Like, I thought it was kind of a preposterous statement when somebody threw it out, but the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. It might be the best landing spot in the history of pro football or the history of the modern NFL for a rookie quarterback taken in the top five picks with this 2024 Bears team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how the draft works. Usually the crappy teams are at the top making picks in the top five, but the Bears had the foresight to make a trade with the horrible Panthers, who were so bad that they got the number one pick for the Bears. So it's not often you see a top five pick or a number one overall pick go to a team that went 7-10 and was very competitive in many of those losses and was only two games from making the postseason. So this is a stacked Bears roster. And you look at before this draft even started, you, Caleb Williams was going to have Keenan Allen to throw to, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. And now you throw Roma Dunze in there. Like, my God, that offense is so loaded that it's almost absurd to think about. And I think the Bears are winners, though. I mean, obviously Caleb Williams playing the stacked offense helps, but this is a franchise that has been starving for a star quarterback. They have had nothing since Sid Luckman in 1945. I mean, that's before Prisco was born. This is way back that we're talking about that they had a great quarterback. And so what? They're the only franchise in the NFL that's never had a 4,000-yard passer. There's just all these quarterback things that you can throw in their face. And Caleb Williams finally seems like the guy who can kind of end this quarterback curse and be that franchise quarterback that the Bears just haven't had. And then you throw all these weapons out there. I think that, I mean, if Keenan Allen leaves after one season, you have Dunze to throw in there. The Bears look loaded for the future, which is something I never thought I would say.
Yeah, it gives Caleb Williams a running mate for the remainder or for however long into the foreseeable future that we can think of with the Bears. Obviously, Keenan Allen, you know, he's good for right now, but like you're saying, we don't know if he's going to be there in the year, but overall, I do agree that they have really crafted this roster extremely well around Caleb Williams. It's the perks of having a consensus number one overall pick and having the number one overall pick. You can go into free agency and bring in guys like DeAndre Swift and all of those players that you feel like could match Caleb Williams' skill set perfectly. And you're talking, Breach, a little bit about, you know, obviously the Bears have been so starved for a quarterback. And that's great, and so it's totally true. It also couldn't come at a better time. I just mentioned it. Like, this division is starting to get stacked. We're talking about J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings being on the come up. If you're the Bears, you needed to have this generational quarterback come through, or else you're going to be looking at Jordan Love and Jared Goff and this entire division leave you in the dust.
Yep.
Sorry, I was texting. I agree. I think it's a great point.
I think the crazy thing, though, is that we saw how good Jordan Love got over toward the second half of the season. But remember, Packers fans were ready to bench Jordan Love. When you look at what he did in the first half of the season, Jared Goff is, you know, he's done well in Detroit. But Caleb Williams could play well enough that in 2 years, we could be looking at him as the best quarterback in the NFC North. So, I mean, there's no reason the Bears can't be competing for a division title as soon as this year.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think the Bears win the division this year. I think the Lions, and if Jordan Love maintains the same, you know, sort of trajectory he's on, that the Bears are at best the third best team. All of a sudden, that division is really like, and look, if Caleb Williams is great, a whole different ballgame. The Bears have done a great job. The Bears have done a fantastic job building back up off of the problems that Ryan Pace had. I thought the stat was, I knew it, but it's crazy. The Bears have used three of their last five first-round picks on quarterbacks. Think about that. That is wild. I'll throw out Kyler Murray / the Arizona Cardinals as winners.
Ooh.
They had their quarterback. I mean, they do, right? They believe Kyler's their guy. And I think the same thing with the Pace. I think the same thing. I think the idea that at 3, 4, and 5 – the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Chargers were open for business was pretty much wildly oversold. I think they were open for business. I don't think anybody wanted to pay the price that they want. They wanted a future first to get a minimum to get out of those spots. And nobody was really willing to spend that to get up. So ultimately you had the Patriots say, we're just going to sit here and take Drake May. I mean, the fact that the Chargers didn't move off of 5 and took Joe Alt there when you could have gotten, and Joe Alt's a really good player, but you could have gotten other offensive linemen. Like, if you've, I mean, Do you like? I would have guessed that the Vikings, and by the way, apparently the Vikings and Patriots all tried to trade for Justin Herbert last week, which is kind of insane. Sure. Love a $100 million cap hit. We can do that right now. No problem. I think the fact that the Chargers sat there and took Joe Alt, who is a left tackle, and we don't know what they're going to do with Joe Alt and what they're going to do with Rashawn Slater. I trust Jim Harbaugh implicitly. I think I kept hammering home the point the Chargers are going to take a tackle. But, you know, I think that there just wasn't enough juice in the – none of these teams wanted to move down to 10, 11, 12, 13 to – and so as a result, you had chalk hold up top. But I think the Cardinals come away with a defensive player when they add Darius Robinson out of Missouri at 27. And then they also get Marvin Harrison Jr., who they just view as their next Larry Fitzgerald, to go with Kyler Murray. And they had to get a wide receiver in this draft. And so, again, it's easy to pick the teams who had two picks. But I think Kyler Murray slash the Cardinals are a winner here because they came away with this high-end, possible, like, yellow jacket, you know, gold jacket style player in Marvin Harrison Jr. With the fourth overall pick.
I agree. I mean, it's, again, you kind of depleted that entire position group over the last couple of years, obviously getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, losing Hollywood Brown in free agency, even trading like Rondale Moore. You needed somebody, you didn't just need a body. You needed somebody who could transform the offense and have a defensive coordinator completely use on a week-to-week basis to game plan against. So, no, I think that makes total sense to bring him in.
Yeah, if you don't draft him, if they would have traded back, you're looking at, what, Greg Dortch, Michael Wilson. Like, yeah, your receivers are just
– I mean, you got Trey McBride too. So, like, you can make the case that the Cardinals, you know, but, like, now – you saw enough from Kyler Murray last year where you feel like, all right, this team's got a little juice to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart pick. I agree.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will give out losers. We already said that Kirk Cousins is a big loser. We'll find three more losers in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft next.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
I think one of the hard things to deal with the NFL draft is like it's hard to come away with losers after a single round of the NFL draft. Like, it's easy to say Kirk Cousins is a loser or Aaron Rodgers was a loser when the Packers drafted Jordan Love. Those things are easy, right? As for like, because it's just hard to say, you know, like it's like Byron Murphy. You're a loser. Like, I think Byron Murphy's a great player. I think the Seahawks are sneaky winners. Byron Murphy, Devin Witherspoon, like this defense for Seattle could be real good soon. But Breach, you love calling people losers. Who do you have on your losers list?
All right, that is not true. I do like saying that people suck, like Brinson. Look at that.
Have you not seen my new this new hat I got? This,
is that your logo? Do you have a new personal?
It's my
logo?
Brinson, yeah, Brinson brand. Yeah.
Oh my God, Brinson! Wow. If you are listening audio version, you need to get on YouTube at the 31-minute, 20-second mark. The Brinson brand.
Actually, this is somebody's company. So I was hanging out with somebody. They gave me this hat. I can't remember who it was. Whoever's company it was sent me. I'm
like, I just don't like
I like the idea of having a bee hat. I feel it feels right.
Well, I have a BS hat. Brinson sucks. All right. Well, anyway, so it is tough in the first round, but I am going to give my low grade award to the Las Vegas Raiders. Look, Brock Bowers is talented, awesome tight end. I just think that they could possibly be the worst landing spot for him. I understand what you can do with two tight end systems. You know, you go out there, you run your 12 personnel. The Patriots love that stuff. Belichick's huge with it. We all remember Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. But the Raiders don't have Tom Brady. They have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. For an offense like that to work, you don't even know what you have at starting quarterback. And so I would have thought about maybe plugging some other holes before I use a top 35 pick on a tight end for the second straight year, which I believe is the first time since at least 1985 that a team has used two top 35 picks on a tight end in consecutive seasons. There's a reason it doesn't happen, because you have so many other holes on your roster. You don't need to draft a top tight end in the top 35 in consecutive seasons. So look, Brock Bowers might be awesome, but we know they got Michael Mayer last year. So to me, the move just didn't make a lot of sense when you look at the other needs they had, whether that was cornerback, offensive tack. I mean, literally anything else, but they went tight end. So I thought that was a weird move.
I think they kind of got caught by surprise with Michael Penix going as high as he did. I think that they probably wanted to get into that quarterback race, thinking that maybe they could trade up to 10 with the Jets if Michael Penix was still there, or to leapfrog Denver and whoever else was in, maybe Minnesota too. I think they kind of got tricked into a spot where they had to go, you know what, let's just take best player available on our board, even though it doesn't fill the biggest need.
But I will say that's all, is that Penix got taken at 8th overall. They picked 13th. So they had nearly an hour to recalibrate and get this figured out. And it's, man, it was just, and with six quarterbacks winning the first 12 picks, that means you literally had the 7th best non-QB option. It was just a little surprising. But you know what? Maybe Bowers turns into the next Gronk, and then you can throw this in my face.
Yeah, it also feels a little almost, you know, for me, I think that Jacoby Myers does really well over the middle, and that's where he's, you know, was great in New England. I thought he was great with Vegas then last year. It almost feels like a hat on a hat now that you're going to use Brock Bowers. You're not going to use him as a boundary guy. I'm curious to see how this offense kind of shakes out with their skill positions now.
I'll say this about the Raiders too, because I think that this is a result of coaching situations where Bo Nix goes to the Broncos and with Sean Payton. But you're like, well, I mean, we're still giving Sean Payton. Like, Sean Payton, I mean, I think Sean Payton's one of the best offensive minds in the last 20 years. So, like, I'm not going to – if he likes Bo Nix, yeah, I'm going to blindly trust him. But having been burnt by Sean Payton – couple times in the last few years post Drew Brees, I think it's reasonable to start, you know, have a little skepticism creeping up, a la Belichick post Brady. JJ McCarthy goes to the Vikings. Well, Kevin O'Connell did good work. He's cool. Like, dude, six quarterbacks winning the top 12. They're not all going to work out.
The point being is, I think the Raiders could almost be painted as, all right, because I think back to 2011. Ponder, Locker, Gabbard, they're ripping these quarterbacks off left and right. And Kaepernick and Dalton ended up being much better than those guys in the second round. But it's like, I think you could say the Broncos are kind of losers, because I think the Broncos are my loser. Because you know what? You drafted Bo Nix. He's 24 years old. You just traded for Zach Wilson. They're both he's 24 years old. And if Bo Nix is great, that's awesome. Pete Prisco called him Baby Breeze. I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, Bo Nix was great at Oregon. And just like Michael Penix, it's a hard evaluation to deal with, because these guys have played a bunch at the college football level. They're also playing against much younger players. Their opponents are like 18, 19, 20. They're on the back end of the bell curve of COVID. They get this extra 3 years. So, but like, typically speaking, remember when the Browns drafted Brandon Whedon? I mean, typically speaking, this does not work out that well for NFL teams. So I think the Broncos were in a position where they couldn't make a move up and were stuck taking Bo Nix. And I almost look at it like the Raiders are lucky to have been, we're on the outside looking in. We'll take the best player available. We'll go to Brock Bowers. I'll say the Broncos and Bo Nix is a winner because he gets Sean Payton, but I'll say the Broncos are my loser. Man, if this doesn't work out in year one, Sean Payton will have some scrutiny on him.
Yeah, I didn't like that pick at all. I thought, again, it felt so obvious.
Steal your loser. Okay,
no, you didn't. No. It felt so obvious, though, right? Like, it felt like, okay, well, the Broncos are just going to take Bo Nix. We all hate it, but we just know it's going to happen. Like, it's remarkable. It's, again, maddening. I'll believe it when I see it. I agree with you, Brinson. Like, the dude had, like, 61 starts in college, the most ever by a quarterback. I just am very skeptical about how that's going to work out in the NFL.
It feels like the Michael Penix at 8 thing got the Broncos completely off the hook for Bo Nix at 12. Who's your loser, Sully?
To me, it's the Buffalo Bills. For the sheer fact that they traded back with the Kansas City Chiefs to allow them to get their wide receiver, their speedster in Xavier Worthy. It makes no sense to me why they would allow that team to go up to that position to identify basically who are people comparing to DeSean Jackson, like who's going to be paired with Andy Reid. Like, that is, to me, unconscionable for a team that you are directly competing with. It's not in your division, but you are going, your main rival in the conference, you're going toe-to-toe with them. You are synonymous with Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. I have no idea why you would allow that team in particular to trade up for a position of need. By the way, a position of need that you also have, Buffalo. I know that you've traded out. You can still get Ladd McConkey with the first pick in the second round. Like, you could still fill that need. We don't know how that trade ultimately is going to pan out. But the fact that you let Kansas City get the receiver that they wanted, and now you're pairing him with Patrick Mahomes, the dude that ran the fastest 40 time in the history of the combine, I don't know how you do that.
Well, and I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember the last time the Chiefs and Bills traded in the first round?
I do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was when the Bills gave away the 10th pick to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs could come up and take Patrick Mahomes. And you wonder why this guy won't let you get through and win a Super Bowl. Because you don't think about it. Like, do you think Patrick Mahomes doesn't take that personally? The Bills are like, nah, we don't want that pick at Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead, Chiefs, take him. Yeah, it's worse than like the Lions and the Vikings swapping picks to me, because you're like openly inviting the Chiefs offense to be better by letting this team that doesn't mess up in the draft, that has the greatest offensive mind probably in the history of football outside of maybe Bill Walsh and Andy Reid. And sure, come up. You probably won't figure out what you're doing.
If you're the Bills, why are you even picking up the phone if the Chiefs are calling you? If the caller ID says Kansas City, I'm throwing my phone out the window, setting it on fire. I want nothing to do with the Chiefs. I'm not helping the Chiefs in any way. The Chiefs have been the one impediment for the Bills in the postseason. They can't get past the Chiefs. You don't want to make the Chiefs better. So, yeah, I agree with Sully that this was absolutely crazy trade for the Bills to make. If any other team makes this trade and says, you know what, we'll let Kansas City move up, you say, okay. That makes sense. But the Bills? No, that doesn't make sense for the Bills to make this move.
I mean, you know how long I would need to think about it? 13 seconds. That's all. I mean, no. I'm good. All right, we're good. 1.3 seconds. Bonk. Bing, bonk.
One other move I want to mention real quick was the 49ers drafting a receiver. Does that mean we could see Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk moved sometime in the next 24 hours? Because, hey, when you have receivers who maybe aren't happy and now you're using your first round pick on one, it just seems like you're setting the stage for a possible move.
All right. I'm going to give the Panthers a C+. I like that they drafted Xavier Leggett in the first round after they told him, like, we're going to draft you. And then Dave Canales was like, no, I told 75 people that. But they traded up one spot with the Bills. Fifth year option, okay, I guess, but like, you gave up. Stop giving up draft capital for unnecessary moves up. Let the Bills take whoever they want. I mean, maybe somebody's gonna leapfrog them. It's like, you have the first pick, you have the leverage, you gave it all away. What grade? We'll get out of here on this. What grade will you guys give your teams? Because I'm not really a Panthers fan, but I'm kind of a Panthers fan. Sully. Drake May being taken at 3 overall. What's your grade?
I give him an A. It's what I wanted them to do. I didn't want them to trade down. I didn't want them to get cute. I wanted them to take the at-bat, take the swing with the talent. I think Drake May has the talent to be a Josh Allen, Justin Herbert type of guy. Let's see if he reaches it, but ultimately I like the pick.
Okay. And look, I think Drake May is going to be. I Justin Herbert's a better comparison for Drake May than to me.
Sure,
than
Josh. I'll take it. I will take either one.
Yeah. I loved Belichick talking.
Had to suffer. I actually didn't catch any Belichick stuff. Was it all just on YouTube? Is he good?
He was good. I thought he did not like Drake May. I don't think he.
I don't think he did either.
Which I love.
Think he didn't? Do you think he did like Drake May because Drake May might be great with New England, or do you think like
it could be anything? Bill Belichick is historically salty, so it could be just because he didn't like the way he ate his cereal. Who knows?
All right, Breach, you were big old snaked Howie Roseman for a Georgia player and took our Marius, or is it Marius Mims? He's a monster human being. Eight starts in his career, but just an absolutely huge human who could end up being a very, very good player for the Bengals. What'd you give your?
Give it an A minus. I think it's six starts in his career, and I think that's the big concern is that you don't the experience isn't there. But look, if you're the Bengals, your number one priority has to be protecting Joe Burrow. That does this, and the other part is he doesn't have to go in and start right away because you have Orlando Brown, you have Trent Brown, you have the Browns. So you have two tackles in place. You hope that Amarius Mims can come in there and start from day one. But if he can't, he doesn't have to. And he can learn from these two guys during the 2024 season. I like that. I like that the Bengals got an offensive tackle. And I think he will be their right tackle for years to come.
All right, we're going to get out of here. But the good news is, we are going to have on this YouTube channel, at NFL and CBS, the guys from With the First Pick, the hardworking Ryan Wilson, senior. Actually, he's not senior yet, but he's just a draft analyst. And, of course, former Vikings GM Rick Spielman will be jumping off HQ. They're jumping onto YouTube. Make sure and check that out. If you're watching this, slide right over and get their analysis of the 2024 first round or the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. First up, for Breach, I'm Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys later.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.